you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, October 12th, 2020. It's Memorization Monday, and we're going to cover a great verse. Actually, three verses I'll highlight in just a moment. And returning with us is Pastor Brian Romanowski, and we appreciate him. He was with us last Monday, and we got so caught up in the verse and actually said, you know, Mark, I really do love Ephesians 2:10, maybe even more than 2, 8, and 9, but those are also great. And we said, hey, maybe we can have you back. Will it work out? And he said, sure. So we'll formally welcome him in just a minute. But I wanted to highlight a few updates for those of you with inquiring minds that need to know what happened on Friday. Oh, Lord, it was an interesting life lesson for me because I like to be in control. I like to have my fingers involved in a lot of things. I like to manage and oversee things. And I would say I work really hard to make sure things work. But I learned again that things are out of my control oftentimes, and probably a very healthy lesson for all of us, that whenever we start to think it's about us or we're in control, we're probably sinning or falling short of the mark that God wants to always have us acknowledge. He's in control. He's the giver of all things. And we sometimes get to operate in positions of maybe authority or doing things, but when we start thinking too much that we're indisposable or it's all up to us, I think we can really have a rude awakening. And so mine was, our transmitter faulted on Friday morning, and we were off the air, and so I had Dwayne out there, and Dwayne had a son-in-law, an electrician, working out some things. We thought
we had the whole gang out there.
Oh, yes. So we thought it was just a fuse issue, or a circuit breaker had flipped. And while it wasn't that, and then we found out that it must be a component in the transmitter, and if the transmitter doesn't run, you can't do anything. You're just off the air.
Your problem kind of grew, didn't it?
So we were off the air for about 7 or 8 hours.
Oh,
Howard
my,
had
yeah.
to drive all the way. Howard's our engineer from Springfield, all the way to Quincy, Illinois. And if you know your Illinois map, it's at the very western part of the state. And so that's about a five-hour drive. So by the time he got the part, got all the way to Fisher, and we went back on the air late afternoon, early evening. But, you know, that's nothing we could do, and I'm just like, wow, we're off
Things
the air.
Happen.
And so, and I will tell you a little blessing. A friend was in town, Donna Eckhoff Evans, her and her new husband, and she just so happened to want to make a donation to the station, and her $500 gift basically covered the two parts that we needed to get the transmitter working.
That's
I thought,
so great.
Thank you, God, for providing that $500 to get us on the air. So anyways, we appreciate your prayers. Those of you that maybe really missed out on hearing the programming, well, now maybe you value Christian radio a little more, or you think, wow, I really never realized how much I rely on it or lean into it or enjoy it until it's gone. And
or
so,
say a prayer of thanks for Howard and Dwayne and Mark and everybody that pitched in.
Yeah, the whole team. So, and then on Saturday, I hope you tuned in and got to be blessed by Farmhands. It was the first ever concert here at the Great News Radio Center, where we had about an hour with these musicians sharing and some testimony time. And if you love bluegrass, Farmhands delivered. It was
got some fun. Good fiddling going on there.
Fiddling and that steel guitar and the bass and the banjo and a normal guitar. And so that was an hour-long concert. It is archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archive programs link. And it was a special one-hour, first-ever broadcast we did here at the Great News Radio Center. Thank you to Dean Hull and Thrivent Financial. They underwrote the cost of the whole concert. So any donations we raised that night went entirely to the station
That's
and
so
our
great.
Operations.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Thrivent.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Well, today, to set the context, I'm going to be reading Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, but we're going to be focusing on 2:10, which is, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But let me lay the context with Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, and then we'll have Pastor Brian Romanowski share. He's the pastor at the First Baptist Church of Bahamut. And if you were tuned in last Monday, we talked a little about he's taken a little sabbatical from pastoring so he can assist and help his mom during a time of transition and selling the home and getting her relocated. And so he got in a little early today, and appreciate him giving Marianne and I a little update on his mom and on his family situation. And I don't know, Pastor Brian, if your ears were ringing last Sunday, but as I was attending Jason's church and said that you were going to be our Memorization Monday guest, and it was very true of our program even today, what I'm about to share, but Pastor Jason says, you know, what I love about Brian is he's very pastoral, he's very knowledgeable, he has a very caring temperament and disposition, so when he speaks and shares, he really can connect with you. He's a great listener, and that was demonstrated today as we were talking about family and friends and situations in our lives as we got to pray up the program and talk. Didn't you feel that, Marianne? He has
Absolutely.
A very calming voice.
Yes.
And very compassionate and caring. And that's what Jason said. He's the real deal.
I was just going to say, such an authentic person. And you have so much to offer when you talk about the Bible. Thank you.
Well, and we learned that when I mentioned that we needed this component for the transmitter and it was like an MOV, he goes, what was it again?
Yeah. Metal oxide varicose.
Yeah,
he
I'm like, who
stuff.
Would know that? I didn't even know what
but
it was.
But he worked in the military. He knows all that.
An electrical engineer would know that.
Yeah, well, so he wears many caps, but he's been serving in Bahamut the last 5 years.
I've been there 13 years.
13 years. Oh, 5 years you've been focusing on more international ministries and helping on the mission field.
I have been involved with missions for a long time.
Oh,
okay, what were you doing the last 5 years?
It seems like
okay.
A lot's been going on.
Okay, let's
That's funny.
Well, let me set the context, and then we look forward to hearing specifically about Ephesians 2:10, which is a great verse, and I think it has points of application for us all.
Okay.
So we'll be reading from the book 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart by Robert J. Morgan, but let me lay the context beginning at Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Okay. Here's the words of Robert J. Morgan. In memorizing Ephesians 2:8 and 9, it's vital to learn verse 10, too. For this balances out the Bible's teaching about good works. We can never be saved by doing good works, but we are saved to do good works. The New International Version says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." This is an incredible verse because it tells us that while good works aren't the cause of our salvation, they are the result of it, and God has even planned in advance what those good works will be in your life and mine. Titus 3:4 and 8 makes the same point. He saved us, not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy. I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed God might be careful to devote themselves to good works. When you study the history of the world, you'll find that Christians have always been at the forefront of benevolence, social reform, education, hospitality, and medical care. Jesus told us to let our light shine before others, that they might see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. He said, when we visit the prisoners and feed the hungry and help the oppressed, it's as though we were doing it for Him. Matthew 25:45. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do His good works in this world. And here's a section. Even knowledgeable believers will be amazed at how many of our present institutions and values reflect a Christian origin. Not only countless individual lives, but civilization itself was transformed by Jesus Christ. In the ancient world, His teachings elevated brutish standards of morality, halted infanticide, enhanced human life, emancipated women, abolished slavery, inspired charities and relief organizations, created hospitals, established orphanages, and founded schools. In medieval times, Christianity almost single-handedly kept classical culture alive through recopying manuscripts, building libraries, moderating warfare through truce days, and providing dispute arbitration. It was Christians who invented colleges and universities, dignified labor as a divine vocation, and extended the light of civilization to barbarians on the frontiers. In the modern era, Christian teaching properly expressed advanced science, instilled concepts of political and social and economic freedom, fostered justice, and provided the greatest single source of inspiration for the magnificent achievements in art, architecture, music, and literature that we treasure to this present day. No other religion, philosophy, teaching, nation, movement, whatever, has so changed the world for the better as Christianity has done. Paul Mayer in How Christianity Changed the World by Alvin Schmidt. And here's a quote by Martin Luther. There are two kinds of good works. Some precede and others follow justification. The former merely appear to be good and effectual. The latter are really good.
Oh, geez. That was by Martin Luther.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a little lofty for me. Hey, Brian, Pastor Brian, jump in and share some of the unique facets of this verse, because I just bet there's a lot of people that know this verse, have heard this verse, and think about it, and the fact that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has laid out for us. I mean, isn't that kind of amazing?
This is a really rich passage, and that whole section that you read, 2, 8, 9, and 10, are just phenomenal. I mean, it's interesting that they have a quote from Martin Luther at the end of 2:10, because part of the big deal of the Reformation is that 2:8, that whole idea that we are saved by grace, not by works, 2:9, is a lot of what Martin Luther pushed against the church of his day, because they believed that it was good works that would get you into heaven by buying indulgences and things like that. And it's interesting that we're doing this just a couple of weeks before Reformation Day, which will be on October 31st, which is a Saturday. And so this idea that we are saved not by works but by grace, but we're created for works, that God created us not as human beings to sit around and enjoy our salvation, but to use our salvation to glorify God, to go out and do things that He intended for us to do in advance. So God has created us in special ways, crafted us, and that word that is translated here, God's workmanship in some translations, or handiwork in the most recent NIV. I heard Bill Allison a number of years ago, and he's got a ministry in Peoria, Cadre Ministries, and I heard him speak about this particular text, and he talked about the New Living Translation says masterpiece, that we are God's masterpiece. And the word that is used there really speaks to fine craftsmanship, like an artist. And it reminds me of Michelangelo or Da Vinci, or one of the great artistic minds of our world. But right now, this time of year, you drive down the road and you see the colors in the trees. God builds a masterpiece way above anything that we could produce as human beings. And He has created us as human beings as His masterpiece, His handiwork, His fine craftsmanship to do something, and something for Him. So when we look at the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, it's evident that He created Michelangelo to be this artist that can give honor to God through that painting. But each of us is created that way. We have some purpose that God created us to do. And too often I see Christians that they get saved and they feel like they bought their fire insurance, and now I can just go on and enjoy life and not do anything related to my Christian faith. But the reality is, God wants us to do something. He created us to do something, to use our gifts like Michelangelo. And there are so many opportunities that we have to do good works to honor Him.
And he's created each and every one of us unique and distinctly different, you know, like with fingerprints, and there's no two people exactly the same, and there's no two people in the exact same circumstances with the realm of influence with the exact same friends. And so somebody might say, but I'm not a painter, I'm not a Michelangelo, I'm not a musician or an artist, but they may be the difference maker by bringing a caring, compassionate word to somebody, or raising a child, or interacting with a coworker. I mean, these special works that God has prepared in advance, that's all of us. There are unique, special things that only we can do. So if you don't feel like you measure up to, you know, Pastor Brian, or I'm not like a creative radio personality like Mary Ann. I won't say a personality, but, you know, you
do have a personality,
yeah, that's right,
so to speak.
And you are gifted. Yeah. You're a gifted author and life coach. Some might say, well, I'm not like that. Yeah, but God has distinctly wired you with unique gifts that are different than anyone else, that you do have a role. I mean, isn't that one of your words of encouragement today, that everyone has a role, especially those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, absolutely. And that whole idea that you mentioned, words of encouragement, I mean, people that are disabled oftentimes can sit at home and pick up the phone and call somebody who really needs a word of encouragement, write a letter, a note. I know for me personally, getting a card in the mail sometimes encouraging me at a time when I really need it is very important.
Yeah. I just think that one thing that we do that is a just tragic error is we decide what is important and what's not. It's often said, oh, well, at least you could send a card. At least you could make the call. Like that's some sweet little thing. Oh, my goodness. The void of not doing that, of that work that God created and prepared for you to do, the void of that word of encouragement could change the course of someone's life for the negative.
Yes.
And so it's not an unimportant thing. It's everything. And I know if you're like me, there's been points in your life where someone said one thing. And like you said, it could be someone just saying, I felt like I should call you and say this. It changed everything. Yeah. Everything.
And I'm thinking, and I know we're all going to agree on this, but maybe that shut-in person or the elderly person, hey, I'm 89 and I can't get out, I'm homebound. The prayers of those people, I know that resonates,
yes,
with you, Mary Ann. The power in prayer, on petitioning God on behalf of individuals around the world or your neighbor, the people that can pray. We're going to probably find out when we get to heaven, it's not going to be all these wonderful works we're doing. God's going to say, hey, good job. But it was Aunt Mildred who prayed endlessly in the wee hours of the night that made such a profound impact on the world. I just think,
yeah,
we're going to be surprised that it's not all these great things.
And
it's going to be prayer and these very simple things.
It's our loss that we think that those are just, well, that's all they could manage or do.
Yeah.
That is not how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God gifted us individually with gifts. Like you said, we are uniquely created to do something, and no two people are alike, but the reality is there are so many things that we are created to do, and finding that passionate thing that you really are made by God to do. You have a purpose in this world and exist so that you can glorify God through whatever that is.
Yeah, I agree with that, because sometimes those things we feel passionate about are our calling. It's also true that it's sometimes those things we feel scared about that are our calling. Because those things we feel scared about, I can guarantee the enemy has been after since you were a child.
Yeah. And I'm thinking some of those things that we're tentative about, or, you know, nobody likes rejection and,
yep,
you know, sharing
that's
their
right
faith, because you want to be confident or secure. But when we're in those points, when we're having to lean into God or recognize, Lord, I'm not adequate, I can't do it, we rely or we entrust ourselves to him. And that's when his power is unleashed through us, where somebody will say, oh, you really ministered to me. And
mm-hmm,
we'd say, oh, I was scared to death to,
exactly,
share advice or whatever because I didn't feel I could.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can't just not look at the effect that the enemy does want to go against the plans of God. We have to keep that in mind. And so sometimes those things that we dismiss, like, well, that probably doesn't matter, that's no big deal, it doesn't matter if I make that call, I'm just scared to say that thing or whatever, that could be the thing.
And I think we need to step out in faith and trust God will take care
and
of
be
us
brave.
In the midst of our fear. And I think back a year ago, I returned from Thailand and Myanmar on October 8th. And I do have to say that I was a little nervous when I was in Myanmar.
Uh-huh.
The first time in my life.
That's reasonable.
I gave up my passport to go into the country, not knowing if I'd get out of the country and get my passport back, because one of the church leaders had told us about his pastor in Myanmar, along with over 200 others, had been rounded up and imprisoned and had been tortured. And here we are going into this country knowing that we could also wind up in the same situation. But for our global servants who are there day in and day out, because that's their calling. God called them to minister, to develop church leaders, to build churches, and to evangelize the people of Myanmar. They're risking their lives every day. And the fear that I had just going in for a short period of time, I can't imagine what it's like for them on a day-to-day basis. So that whole thing about praying for people, definitely our global servants need our prayers.
Yes, they do. And thank you for your bravery in giving up your passport and going to Myanmar. I mean that. That's a big deal. And you are right to turn the attention toward them. My word, those people are so courageous.
Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I'm thinking, as we close out with our last 30 seconds here, all of us can participate in praying for others, praying for our neighbors, our family members. That is a clear calling, a work that God wants us all involved in, along with a number of other charitable things and being engaged, being involved, doing, you know, the works that God's called us to do. But He certainly called us all to be in prayer. And so if God brings somebody to your mind right now or throughout this day or this week, you know, many times that's the Holy Spirit stirring in you an awareness of maybe a need that somebody's having. And that could be a part of the profound work that God wants you to do even now, is just to pray. And I won't even say just to pray for them, because there's great
never put
power
that word in front
unleashed.
Of prayer.
Yeah,
let's
pray
get
for
on
them.
It.
Let's get on it, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Pastor Brian Romanowski with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.